إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. إخوتي في الله، yesterday we had a group of our young brothers who had a number of questions that they wanted the answers to. And one of the questions that came was an extremely important question as it relates to the life of the Muslim and as it relates to what goes on in our lives and we don't even have an idea about it. So we wanted to come to the community to address this issue and to say that we have to be in the middle course in this issue as we have to be in the middle course in all of our issues. That is the meaning of the Siratul Mustaqim that we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to guide us to. The Siratul Mustaqim is the middle course. It's the course that's not too far to the right, nor is it too far to the left. The Yahud are too far and extreme on one side, in that they've gone away from the Siratul Mustaqim because Allah is angry with them. They know the truth, but they don't practice the truth. And then the Nasara are on the other extreme, away from the Siratul Mustaqim, because they don't know the truth. They have no knowledge. They celebrate Christmas and Easter and other holidays like that, believing that they're doing the right thing. So Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered us in Surah Al-Fatiha to make the dua that we're guided to the Siratul Mustaqim, the middle course, the people in the middle in all of their affairs. They're in the middle as it relates to their ibadat. They're in the middle as it relates to the dunya. They're in the middle as it relates to loving and hating people. They're in the middle. They do not love a person to the degree where they start to say that person is Allah ibn Allah, or that person never makes a mistake. That's overboard. They do not love an individual to the degree that that person, because of their love for him or her, they can do almost anything, and the person will make an excuse to make their action acceptable. And at the same time, they do not hate overboard. They hate in the middle court. They do not hate to the point where their enemy is hated by them so much that they will never recognize the haq if it comes from the enemy. Nah, they're in the middle course, in the Siratul Mustaqim. So today's issue is similar to that. It is an issue that we have to believe in, and it is an issue that is serious, and it's an issue that you have to come to know some things about it in order to push the evil of it away from yourself. You are sitting here, and because of a lack of knowledge as it relates to this issue, your babies are in jeopardy. You yourself are in jeopardy. Your family is in jeopardy. So you have to take the time out to invest 5 minutes of your time just to learn about some of the things to deal with this issue. Nonetheless, you have to be in the middle course. And that is the subject matter of the Ayn, or the evil eye. The evil eye that the Prophet said about it, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, al-aynul haq. The evil eye is truth. So we have to be in the middle course as it relates to the Ayn and the seriousness and the severity of the Ayn. There are those people who claim to be Muslims who, whenever something doesn't go along with the way these kuffar understand something, if Tony Blair has a problem with getting his mind around a particular issue in Al-Islam, like whatever the issue is, that Muslim will say, I reject it because Tony Blair doesn't understand it, because kuffar don't understand it, because it's not in their parliament being discussed, so I reject it. And then we have the other extreme. Everything that happens to the person, he says it's the Ayn. He drinks khamr, so he says it's the Ayn. Someone put Ayn on him. He doesn't give someone his haq, his wife, his mother, his sister, his father. He doesn't give the haq to that individual. So they say it's the ayn, it's the ayn. Everything is the ayn. They cannot sit to have food with you because they think that you're going to give them the ayn. So they become dysfunctional and anti-sociable. No, we have to be in the middle as it relates to the ayn. And the ayn has been established in the Quran, also in the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the Quran in Surah Al-Qalam, ayat number 51, Allah revealed an ayat that had to deal with the ayn. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who is a human being, who magic was worked on him. Had he been from the Nur of Allah, had he deserved to be worshipped, no human being could put magic on him with his knowledge or without his knowledge. But because he's a human being, like all of us human beings, he's subjected to having magic worked on him. He's subjected to having the ayn put on him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he had a lot of enemies. Quraysh noticed that there was one individual in particular from the Kufar who used to have the ability to look at someone and cause some evil to befall them. If this man saw you walking by with a camel that he liked, he will look at your camel and say something and praise your camel. Lo and behold, after a few minutes, something will happen to your camel. And the man had the ability to do that to any and everyone that he looked at. He had the ayn in his eye. And the people knew that. Why did Allah give him the ayn? Allah knows best. Why did Allah create shaitan? Can you answer the question? Allah knows best. Quraysh went to that man and said, we want you to put the ayn on Muhammad. We want you to make something happen to him by looking at him the way you look at him. So the man went to one of the general public meetings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah started to teach the people the Quran as he used to do. After the majlis was over, Allah revealed those ayat from Surah Al-Qalam. And at the end of the ayat, Allah Ta'ala said, وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لما سمعوا الذكر ويقولون إنه لمجنون. Allah said, and verily, those people from the disbelievers, they used to try to make you trip up by giving you the ayn, the abasarihim. They used to try to make you fall and make mistakes with their absar, with their ayn. But Allah protected you when they used to hear this Quran. And they used to say about you, verily this man is Majnun. So in ayat number 51 from Surah Al-Qalam, there is the mention of the reality of the ayn is in the Quran. As for the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, that is, it has been authentically recorded in the Hilyat al-Awliya. He said that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, إِنَّ الْعَيْنِ تُدْخِلُ الرَّجُوَ الْقَبْرِ وَتُدْخِلُ الْجَمَلِ الْقِدْرِ. He said, verily the evil eye, it will cause a man to enter into his grave, and it will cause the camel to enter into the cooking pot. Because of the evil eye, it can cause a person to lose his life. He gets a new car, and someone says, that is a wonderful car, that is a nice car, and he doesn't praise Allah Azza wa Jal, because the dhikr of Allah is not on the tongues of the majority of the people. Not after they pray, not doing their salat, not at any particular time. If the mu'adhin makes the adhan, and the one makes the proper dhikr after the adhan, he is guaranteed the shafa'ah of Rasulullah, yawm al-qiyamah. But most people, the dhikr of Allah is not on their tongue. So as a result of that, when they see something that pleases them, they don't praise Allah. So they open up the door for that individual to become afflicted with the ayn. And that ayn will cause a man to enter into the grave and cause a camel to enter into the cooking pot. The man says about his riding beast, something that's positive, and he doesn't praise Allah, who is the one who deserves to be praised. is the one who doesn't want his praise to be shared with anyone else. That's why the Ayn is significant. That's the secret of the Ayn. Allah doesn't like for you to look at something and then you praise that thing without glorifying Allah. So how about the individual who takes his ibadah away from Allah and he gives his whole ibadah to someone else? So the Ayn is established, as he said in another authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, استعيذوا بالله من العين فإن العين تستنزلك الحالق. Seek refuge in Allah from the evil eye, people, for verily the Ayn will cause a person who went up to a high height. He went on top of a mountain, on top of a building. The evil eye will make him fall off of that high height. The last thing that we want to share with you to prove the authenticity of the Ayn and to explain to you the different types of evil eye is the authentic hadith in which the companion by the name of Amir ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu, he passed by another companion, Sahal ibn Hanif. The second man was taking a ghusl, and the first man happened to see his body and how his skin looked, and it was nice, and how muscular the man was. So the man started to praise the strength in the body of the man when he inadvertently, accidentally saw his aura. And he didn't say, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, and he didn't praise Allah. At that point, the man who was taking the ghusl fell violently to the earth. The people witnessed what happened. They went to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and informed him of what transpired. Rasulullah asked them, who are you people blaming for what has happened? They said, we're blaming Amir ibn Rabi'ah for what he did. And then they told him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the community, أَلَا مَا يَقْتُلُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ مَنْ رَأَى مِنْ أَخِيهِ مَا يُعْجِبُهُ فَلْيَدْعُ بِالْبَرَكَةِ. Rasulullah said to the people, why is it that one of you kills his brother? What is it about you people that one of you will kill his brother? If anyone sees something that he likes in his brother, then let him make dua for him with the barakah. If anyone sees in his brother that which pleases him, then let him say, barakallahu fika. Let him say, barakallahu alayka. Let him say, mashaAllah. If this person has been given a newborn child, let him say about the baby girl or the baby boy, mashaAllah, how big the baby is. MashaAllah, how pretty the baby is. Don't say, this is a big baby. This is a big baby. Because in the hadith of Amir ibn Rabi'ah, it shows us there are different types of Ayn. The first type of Ayn is the Ayn that the person does accidentally. He doesn't mean to make something happen to someone. He doesn't mean it. Like in this case, he saw the man bathing and he said, look how strong he is. They see your baby and they don't mean any evil. This is a big baby. And accidentally you'll get the Ayn. Umm Salama radiallahu anha, she said that Rasulullah came into her house and he found a young girl. And he said about that young girl to the people, Istarqu laha fa inna biha nadhir. Make a ruqya for this girl. Take the Quran and read it over the Quran, because in her eye there is the Ayn. That girl didn't mean to harm anyone, but Rasulullah saw in her eye, and inadvertently she has the Ayn. The second type of Ayn is the Ayn that the person intentionally tries to hurt people. And he doesn't have to have a special sign. Any human being sitting here can give the Ayn to someone else. If he has hasad and al-haq, envy and jealousy, he can give you the Ayn. He doesn't have to be a sahir, a magician. He doesn't have to be a kahin, a soothsayer. He could be a regular amr, bakr, zayd, min al-nas. If he intentionally says something about you that he wants to take away what you have or get rid of the ni'mah that you have, anyone could put the Ayn on someone else. Allah Azza wa Jal, with His infinite wisdom, He has given some of the animals also the ability to have ayn. For those of you who your wives are pregnant, He says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, اقتلوا ذات فيتين والأبتر فإنهما يلمسان البصر ويسقطان الحمل. He said, whenever you see these two types of snakes, you should kill them without warning the snake. The problem in of these kuffar, ikhwan, they would tell us, you Muslims believe in that? The one who has weak iman, he'll say, that's right. Tony Blair, he doesn't believe in it, so I can't believe in it. Even though Abu Qasim said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, kill these two types of snakes. Kill the snake that has two stripes down its back. And kill the snake that has a short tail. They asked him why. He said, because they have the evil eye, and they will cause the pregnant woman to lose her baby if she looks at them and they look her in the eye. It will cause the baby to be aborted. Wallahi, this is something of our iman, and we don't have any problem with believing in it. Because what Abu Qasim said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if all of the people came together and went against what he said, the haq is with him and it's not with the people. So there are different types of ayn in al-Islam. There is the unintentional ayn that anyone and everyone can do. And then there's that shaitan who has an ayn from the mankind who he intentionally tries to make something happen to you. And then there are the ayn of the hayawanat, like snakes. Finally, there is another ayn from another enemy. And he has the worst ayn. And you are not in a position to protect yourself because this enemy you don't see. And that is the shaitan and the jinn from those who you can't see. They said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, كَانَ يَتَعَوَّذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ أَعْيُنُ الْجَانِ وَمِنْ أَعْيُنُ الْإِنْسِ فَلَمَّا نُزِلَتْ الْمُعَوِّذِتَانِ اسْتَغْنَى بِهِمَا وَتَرَكَ سِوَى ذَلِكَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge in Allah from the ayn, from the evil eye. From the evil eye of the jinn and from the evil eye of mankind. He used to make dua to Allah. And he used to teach the people the dua to seek refuge in Allah from the evil eye of the jinn that they can't see when they're around them trying to do them harm. But then when Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the two last surahs of the Quran, An-Nas wal-Falaq, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to use only those two surahs. So that goes to show us, to protect yourself from the ayn, there are a number of things in al-Islam that you can do and that you should do. The first thing is to use the book of Allah to read over yourself. When Rasulullah at the end of the day made those du'as and he read the Qur'an and he spit and he put as much on his body as he can, that was reading the Qur'an to take away the ayn. That was reading the Qur'an to take away the ayn. He said to Umm Salama about the little girl, istarqu laha, make a ruqya for her. A ruqya is the Qur'an. Reading the last two surahs, ayatul kursi al-fatiha, whatever pleases you and whatever is easy for you. But there is not a particular surah of the Quran that is especially for the ayn. Not Ar-Rahman, not Yasin, and not other than that. All of the Quran can be read for the ruqya. That's the first thing from the sunnah, is that you read the Quran over the individual. The second thing is that you make those specific dua that he taught us in order to protect your children. He used to take Al-Hasan wal-Husayn. He would take these two illustrious companions who are the leaders of the youth of Al-Jannah. And he would pull them close to them and he would make the dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, U'idhukuma bi kalimati Allahi tamma min kulli shaytanin wa hamma wa min kulli aynan lamma. He would say, I seek refuge in the perfect words of Allah for you two kids, from every shaitan that is harmful, and for every poisonous rodent and reptile, and from the evil eye that is done intentionally or unintentionally. And then he would tell Al-Hassan wa Hussein, this is what my father Ibrahim used to do for Ismail and Ishaq. This is what the Nabi of Allah and the Khalil of Allah, Ibrahim, used to do during his time to protect his children. So the child is defenseless, innocent. He cannot repel the aim from himself. And loving your child, part of that love is that you clothe him, you feed him, you give him a nice place to live in, you honor his mother, you teach him the ways of what it is to be responsible, you teach him the deen, and that you protect him from what he has no ability to protect himself from. U'idhukuma bikalimati Allah at-tamma min kulli shaytanin wa hamma wa min kulli ayn al-lama. The mother who has time, and she doesn't spend every day of her day, at least once a day, giving the ruqya to her child with this dua, what is her worth? To give more time to the TV than to learn a dua to put it on the child. Does that exempt the father who's working hard? Doesn't exempt you to learn a dua to say to your baby to protect them from the shaitan. Also, from more, one of the most drastic things that Rasulullah taught us is in the hadith that we mentioned of Amir ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu. When Amir looked at the man and he started praising him, and the man fell down sick, when they went to Rasulullah, Rasulullah said to them, "Tattahimuna man? Who are you people accusing of doing this?" They said, "It was Amr. He walked by when Sahl ibn Hanif was bathing and he said such and such." Rasulullah said, "Why does one of you kill his brother? If you see something in your brother that you like, then pray for the barakah." That is a nice car, mashallah. That is a beautiful child, barakallahu fi. He has a lot of knowledge, barakallahu fi. And then Rasulullah told Amir, go and wash and make a wudu. Wash your hand up into the elbow. Wash your face. The one who saw him, Rasulullah said to him, you, the one who gave him the aim, you, wash your face. Wash your hands to the elbow. Wash your knees and wash the inner portion of your thobe. And put that water in a bucket and send it to the one who has the evil eye. And then let him wash himself from that water. They did that for that man, and he became okay. They did that to that man, and he became okay. So he ordered the Muslims, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا اسْتَغْسَلْتُمْ فَاغْسِلُوا. If someone asks you to wash yourself for them, then wash yourself for them. إِذَا اسْتُغْسَلْتُمْ فَاغْسِلُوا. If someone came and asked you, I need you to wash yourself and give me the water. Rasulullah told you, go ahead and make the ghusl. Don't say to him, you must be kidding me. I'm not doing that. I don't believe in what you're saying. I don't accept that. He ordered the one who's being requested. If someone asks you to take a ghusl, then go ahead and make the ghusl and give him the water. What is the meaning of that hadith? The meaning of that hadith is, if a person has been afflicted with the evil eye, Al-Islam has allowed you to go to that person and to say, would you not take a ghusl and give me that water? The way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered that companion who said what he said, that man had to take a ghusl. That's from Al-Islam, ikhwan. That's what you should do. If you feel you know who did it, you should go to that individual and ask them. Maybe you did it unintentionally. Rasulullah told the man who did it unintentionally, wash your face. Wash your hands up to the elbow. Wash your knee. Why? Wallahi, I don't know why. That's the authentic hadith. And Ibn Majah, wash your knee and wash the inside of your thobe. And then give it to the one who the ayn has been put on and let him bathe with it and he'll become well. That's what we do. We don't sit and then we say, so-and-so gave us the evil eye and then we don't connect. We disconnect. So-and-so has the evil eye, and you make ghibah and you spread things about so-and-so with the evil eye. No, in Al-Islam, you go to that individual and say, we feel that this is what happened. And Rasulullah ordered you, if I came to you, and I said, I think I have the evil eye from you, would you not make this what Rasulullah ordered you? So that person who he feels did it, he has to make the effort to make the ghusl. So to clean up the ayn, to clean up the effects of the evil eye, is the dua with the ruqya. It is also making the ruqya with the Qur'an. Any ayat of the Qur'an, Surah Al-Fatiha used to be read 7 times on the man who got bitten by the snake or the scorpion. Al-ruqya. And finally, the more drastic measure is that you ask the person who you believe or you think put that particular thing upon you, then you get the ayn off of him. Brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, don't allow someone to sit there and say to yourself, I never got affected by the ayn, and this issue is not for me. As I mentioned, there is not a human being who has a ni'mah that Allah has bestowed upon him, except that there's someone who doesn't like that ni'mah, without any exception in this masjid. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Isti'inu ala injahi hawa'ijikum bil kitman. فَإِنَّ مِنْ وَرَىٰ كُلِّ نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٍ. He said, if you people want to be successful in the things you do, you want to get married, you want to open up a new business, you want to travel, you want to purchase a new house, if you want to be successful in your goals and your plans that you have in your life, then remain silent about them. Don't go out telling the people, because for every ni'mah that Allah gave to everyone, there's someone connected to you who has hasad. Someone is envious. That's what Rasulullah said. A person who had a good opinion about people. He wasn't one of those people who had shuck and doubt about people. He had good opinions and he hoped good for people. But he told us the reality of Bani Adam. If anyone wants to be successful, you want to do something, then secure your success by remaining silent about it. Don't go and tell everyone who doesn't need to know. I don't need to know that. If someone needs to know because you need his help, you need his advice, maybe. But just to tell people for the sake of telling them, he said, behind every ni'mah that Allah bestowed upon you, there is someone who is hasid. You get a car, there's a hasid. You add onto your kitchen, there's a hasid. You get a new robe, a dress, there's a hasid. If your family becomes pregnant, that's a ni'mah that Allah bestowed upon you, there is a hasid. So with that being the case, no one should sit free. No one can hurt me with the ayn. No one wants to put the ayn on me. There's the intentional ayn, the unintentional ayn, and the ayn of the jinn from the shayateen. So fear Allah Azza wa Jal and put the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal on your tongue. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تعالى التوفيق والسداد. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إخوتي في الله, there was a letter here with some information I was supposed to share with you, but if those brothers are here now, that someone took the letter, let the brothers come and explain the situation. But two things, we have a group of brothers who have opened a branch, a masjid, they've made a purchase, and they're in need of our financial assistance from Reading. They have all of the necessary documents to prove the legitimacy of their project and their program. We want you to give generously to them. In addition to that, the last point that we want to make, inshallah, ikhwan, we have to start giving some khutbas about the etiquette of the Jummah prayer. How do we do the Jummah prayer correctly? Because in the Jummah prayer, it is a tremendous kafara for our sins and our dhunub. If we do it the right way, the Jummah prayer is one of the most important acts of ibadah during the course of the week to get off of you the evil that you did during the week. But that's if the person does it the correct way. So we still cease to see, we still continue to see how things are going on in the prayer of the Jummah. When people are coming, the times that they're coming, what they do when they come, that would suggest maybe the people just don't know. We can't take it for granted that the people just know. So we have to address these issues, inshallah, beginning with the khutbah next week. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect and to save us from the evil eye and to make it easy for us to go back to memorize the short dua that are many. Jibril used to read the ruqya and a special dua with Rasulullah from the Ain, and he would make the ruqya on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of those dua are available in the little dua book, The Citadel of the Muslim. You should try to learn some of those. If you can't learn it, then say it in your own language and ask Allah to protect you from the evil eye. And ask Allah to protect your children from the evil eye. Allah is not a law who only accepts the dua if it's done in Arabic. But if it's done in Arabic, the way Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like the Jummah, when you do it the right way, the rewards of it and the impact of it going to be greater and more profound. So inshallah, go back, try to learn those four or five ad'iya of the Ain. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah azza wa jalla al-qawi al-jabbar, the khayr in the dunya and the akhirah.